Good morning. Welcome to Zion. In our announcements, there are many this morning. I'm not going to get them all. But a couple of highlights. Tomorrow is the Thanksgiving community meal. Everyone's invited, so invite everyone. Prep for that starts at 1, and you know, volunteers and many hands make light labor. So that's a good thing. This week, this is the last Sunday of the church year. You'd think that there'd be nothing going on as we get ready for the new church year, but instead, this is as busy as I've ever seen anything. Through Wednesday, we're taking a collection for Henry County Christmas cheer. Saturday, there's a couple things going on. In the morning, we're decorating the church for Christmas. And then at 6 o'clock is the Christmas tree lighting in downtown Ridgeville. Or is that uptown? I can never keep them straight. Uptown? Okay. In uptown Ridgeville, yep, the Christmas tree lighting. Poinsettia orders to adorn the chancel and the nave. That's through next Sunday. There's a baby shower for the Carries next Sunday. And then Christmas for Ridgeville, Kids Connection, Kids Craft, all kinds of stuff coming up. So take a look at that, and I guess keep yourself from getting bored. You can volunteer for some stuff. So let us begin with our opening hymn, which is number 431, Not All the Blood of Beasts. Rise. We begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
This is the day that the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord.
And all the families of the nation shall worship before you.
Now, thus says the Lord, fear not, for I have redeemed you.
I have called you by name. You are mine.
The Lord has delivered us from the domain of darkness
and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins.
Almighty God and King,
we confess that we have broken trust with you. We have doubted your goodness, neglected your ways, and sought to satisfy our sinful nature. We do not think, speak, or act like your treasured possession. We bring before you our faults and failures, honestly and humbly recognizing that we deserve to be cast out of your kingdom. Have mercy, O Lord, for the sake of Jesus Christ. Spare us from his wrath. deliver us from your death and darkness, and cleanse us from sin, that we may serve you in righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, now and always. Amen.
On his cross, Jesus Christ, your Savior, was crowned with shame and given unto death for you. His blood pays the price your sins deserve. Now, crowned with glory, the risen and reigning Christ lives to declare sins forgiven. Therefore, rejoice that you are forgiven in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you reign among us by the preaching of your cross. Forgive your people their offenses, that we, being governed by your bountiful goodness, may enter at last into your eternal paradise. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
You may be seated. Our Old Testament reading this morning comes to us from Malachi chapter 3. Your words have been hard against me, says the Lord. But you say, how have we spoken against you? You have said, it is vain to serve God. What is the profit of our keeping his charge or of walking as in mourning before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the arrogant blessed. Evildoers not only prosper, but they put God to the test and they escape. Then those who feared the Lord spoke with one another. The Lord paid attention and heard them. And a book of remembrance was written before him of those who feared the Lord and esteemed his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in the day when I make up my treasured possession, and I will spare them as a man spares his son who serves him. Then once more you shall see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between the one who serves God and one who does not serve him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our epistle is from Colossians chapter 1. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and that everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 23rd chapter. There followed Jesus a great multitude of the people and of women who were mourning and lamenting for him. But turning to them, Jesus said, Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming when they will say, Blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bore and the breasts that never nursed. For they will begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry? Two others who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him, and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they cast lots to divide his garments. And the people stood by, watching, but the rulers scoffed at him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself if he is the Christ of God, his chosen one. The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. There was also an inscription over him, This is the king of the Jews. One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other rebuked him, saying, do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we, indeed, justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong. And he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he said to him, truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Now, having heard the words of our Lord, let us confess our faith with the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord,
who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried.
He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You may be seated, and we'll invite the children up for the children's message. Oh, we got extra children today. Very good. So what did you guys talk about in Sunday school this morning? The sheep and the goats. And is that when the world was about to end or at the end of the world?
At the end of the world.
The end of the world. So what was the difference between the sheep and the goats?
The goats were the bad people, the sheep were the good people.
Okay. And how could you tell that they were good people and bad people?
Because Jesus said, well, to the people on his right, you
Right. So how is it that they did it, but they didn't know that they did it? That's a hard question, isn't it? And here's an answer. They were able to do those good things without realizing they were doing them because they were focused
on helping people.
They were focused on listening to Jesus, not on doing good things so that they earn approval. So when you listen to Jesus, Jesus just wants you to be a nice person. Because when you remember the other half of the story, when he says to the goats that you didn't give me water and you didn't give me food?
Depart from me.
And they say, when didn't we do it? Because they think they did it all the time. But the problem is, they thought they were doing it to be good. And Jesus says, no, the people who do it to be good aren't doing it deliberately to be good. They're doing it because they're good people. Because they listen to me and they follow me.
They were trying to be good, but they didn't believe.
Exactly. Yep.
But they believed,
and that's why it counted as good for them, because they believed. Yep, that's exactly right. Good job. All right. You did a good job, so you can go back to your seats. We now continue with the hymn of the day, number 532, verses 1 through 4.
The head of Moses crowned with thorns is crowned in glory now. The royal diadem on
Mercy and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Imagine waking up in the middle of the night. The house is dark. You can't see a thing, but you hear a sound coming from somewhere. What's the sensible thing to do? Do you bump around in the dark and hope that whatever is making the sound is harmless and that you don't hurt yourself falling down the stairs? Or do you turn on a light so that you can walk confidently and safely as you look for that noise? Personally, I'll turn on the light. In our epistle reading, there's no light switch. We start out in the domain of darkness, and we can't turn on a light because it's a spiritual darkness, not a simple physical darkness. That's why it's such a good thing that God has rescued us from that domain of darkness and delivered us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, the kingdom of light. Now, getting from that domain of darkness to the kingdom of the beloved Son is no simple matter. It's not just flipping a light switch. It says in the text, in verse 13 and 14, that we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Now, I think redemption is a perfectly fine word, but in our modern usage, it's lost a lot of its strength. You redeem a coupon and you save 30 cents. A ball player has a bad game and the next game he redeems himself. Let's use a different word that means roughly the same thing but retains some of the original urgency. Let's use ransom. We have been ransomed, like from a kidnapper, through the forgiveness of sins. We had been taken by the domain of darkness. We were unable to draw near to God without being destroyed because of our sins. To get us back, Jesus had to pay a ransom to God, to himself, to forgive our sins and restore to us our freedom. Once Jesus had paid that ransom and forgave our sins, then we were transferred into his kingdom, free to draw near to God. Now, this transfer is not an uncertain thing. You needn't worry for yourself, has it happened? There's no question, because it happened to us in our baptism. There's no question of us doing it right or doing it enough, since it was Christ who did it to us through the hands of a pastor, through the water combined with his word. Without faith in the word, the water just makes us wet. But combined with the word, this is all familiar from the Small Catechism, as St. Paul says in Titus chapter 3, he saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal of the Holy Spirit, who he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that we, having been justified by his grace, might become heirs of this new kingdom, having the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying. This freedom from sin comes at a price. For Christ, the price was his blood, his very life. For us, the price is our sin. Our sins have been taken away. We have been forgiven. He He paid the ransom on the cross to free us from those sins so they can no longer accuse us because they're gone. So what's the practical application of this? If you feel guilt or shame over a sin that you committed in the past, that's not Jesus talking to you. Jesus didn't take our sins so that he could hold them over our heads. He took our sins so he could free us, so that we could come out of the darkness and into his kingdom. If you've made mistakes in the past, don't let the devil hold those over you and keep you from living in the light today. Repent of them, draw near to the Lord, and just try not to make those mistakes again. Instead, there's something else that we should be holding on to. Of course, that's Jesus Christ himself. He is, as we're told in verse 15, the image of the invisible God, and in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. Now that the Son of God has come into the world, has become a human just like we are, and revealed himself to us and called us his brothers and sisters, now that he's done all that, what could be better than for us to follow him? Human pride might tell us that it's better for us to make our own path, to make our own mistakes, and to be our own leader. After all, our pride tells us, the great men of history didn't become great by following in someone else's footsteps. Look at men like Napoleon or Julius Caesar. They didn't shy away from a challenge, but they grabbed the opportunity. They made a name for themselves. But what did they really accomplish? Julius Caesar was the dictator of the greatest empire the world has ever known. But what's left of that empire today? Napoleon, like Caesar, was a skilled leader of men with huge successes in battle. But where is the French Empire today? On the other hand, in Christ, we have a man not only worth following, even a man worth emulating, but we have God himself present with us. What he builds will not fail, and it will not pass away, except that he decide to replace it with something even better. In verse 16, we hear, "For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him, through him, and for him." Now, since we just talked about things being created through him and for him, I think this is a good place to note that we reject dualism, the idea that spiritual things are good and physical things are bad. Everything in the heavens and on the earth was created to be good and to be good for us. It's only in Adam's sin and through our own ongoing sin that things are corrupted and bent and that we can now use them for evil. But they are still God's handiwork. I say this because Thanksgiving is only a few days away, and it is good to be thankful for family and friends, but it's also good to be thankful for the meal and the house that we enjoy it in. Those are gifts from God and are also his handiwork. Let's not disparage those good gifts because they're only things, as if God didn't give them to us for our nourishment and for our enjoyment. Also in verse 17, we hear, "He is before all things, and in him all things hold together." He not only created all the things, he continues to maintain them according to his good plans for us. His love for us is in every breath that we take. We didn't earn the air that we breathe. We don't work for it beyond maybe not trying to contaminate it to the point that it causes us harm. He just gives it to us, and we can see everything around us in the same way. They're gifts given to us by God through Jesus Christ to sustain us and bring us joy. If we trust him to provide for us all the good things of this world, which he created and maintains for our benefit, then we don't need to worry, what will we eat or what will we drink? We only pray that he will give us this day our daily bread. And then we go about our lives that we've been given, trusting that he will take care of us as a loving father takes care of his beloved children. Finally, when I said to follow Jesus, obviously we can't follow him around physically like the disciples did from town to town, listening to his teaching. Rather, we hear him teach through the scriptures and we follow that. And if we hear a new idea or receive a new revelation, whether it's from the smartest person in the room or from a heaven, an angel descended from heaven, we test it against the scriptures and we reject anything that does not agree. The scriptures were given to us so that we might hear his word and learn to recognize his voice. We are like sheep who have gone astray, and we might not be the smartest animals in the barnyard, but we can learn to hear our shepherd's voice, and we can learn to follow him. Paul says this is fitting to follow Jesus in our text in verse 18. He says, he is the head of the body, the church. He is the firstborn from the dead, in that in everything he might be preeminent. He gathers us together with his spirit. He loves us as a husband loves his wife. He guides us with his word. We love him because he first loved us. And as we go about our lives, we do everything as if we were doing it for him, that his name might be honored among us. He is firstborn from the dead. This gives us confidence that if we follow him in this life, that we can follow him into the resurrection and life eternal also. The death that we see around us, the death that the world works so hard to postpone, is nothing that we should fear. It's just one step in the path that will bring us closer to our Lord. Jesus tells us that we ought not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, we fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. He is telling us this because without belief in him, we remain in the domain of darkness, in rebellion against God, and hell is reserved for those who choose to remain in that state of rebellion. By taking away our sins, he reconciles to himself all things, making peace by the blood of the cross. We who were in rebellion are now at peace, and not just a neutral territory or allies, but as sons. Adopted into his family, we will inherit his kingdom with him in the fullness of time. Now, we've covered a lot of ground today, but if you take only one thing away from all of that, it's this. Remember your baptism. Baptism is where you were taken from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son, into the light. If you're not baptized, we'll talk to a pastor about it. It's a good thing to have. For the rest of us, it was in our baptism that we were transferred. Oh, I said that. It's where we were ransomed from sin and the danger of death. It's where we went from being in rebellion to being at peace with God. And all of these blessings are given to us if only we believe in Jesus Christ, who is preeminent in all things. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We continue with the offering. Hymn 609, Jesus Sinners Doth Receive.
Jesus sinners doth receive.
Oh, I hope us I ponder.
Who in sin's delusion swim.
Hope for
Rise for the prayers. Let us pray to the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. O Lord, grant that we may rejoice in Christ, who displays his kingly reign first from the cross and on whom we wait for the revelation of all that is to come, that we may enter into our eternal rest by the merits of Christ alone. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Lord, bless this congregation and your whole church with faithful pastors and church workers who speak without embarrassment or apology the gospel of Christ crucified and risen. Grant that we, as hearers of this gospel, may respond with thanksgiving. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Lord, by Christ's atoning death, we are spared as sons and esteemed as treasured possessions of the Father. Bless all Christian homes, that as the children of your kingdom, we would grow in the fear of the Lord and esteem of your holy name, serve you faithfully, and walk in your charge undismayed by the prosperity of the wicked, until all is revealed at the last day. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Lord, let the earth fear you, and all the world's inhabitants stand in awe of your Christ, for you alone, with the Holy Spirit, our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Preserve those who fear and serve you in this fallen world. Maintain good government among us. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus, for your kingdom is not of this world, and our citizenship is with you in heaven. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Lord, grant healing and peace to all those afflicted in body and mind. Relieve the suffering, give peace to the dying, and comfort to those who grieve. Especially, we remember Don and Alice, Margaret, Bernetta, Gary, Bill, Bryston, Kim, Andrew and Michelle, Brandy, Heather, Gary, Michael, Ray, Chelsea, Norma, Ron, Tom, Vicky, Jema, Judy, Joni, Kyle, Sarah, Marilyn, Renee, Michelle, Sandy, the family of Terry Hendricks. Remember them that in their need, you might be their strength and peace. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Lord, preserve your people from all temptation and amid all trial, lest they give into the power of evil or despair. Grant that your people be bold and faithful witnesses to those around them. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Christ, our King, in your blood, the saints of all ages wash their robes and find entrance to paradise with you. Bring us also with them out of death and the grave and into resurrection and eternal life at the last day, when we will see you crowned with glory, for you are the Lamb who was slain and now lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Now may the Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face shine on us and be gracious to us. The Lord look upon us with favor and give us peace.
Amen.
We end with our closing hymn, number 832, Jesus Shall Reign.
Jesus shall reign.
Thank you for joining us. I hope you do remember your baptism, even if it was before you can remember. But remember it as you go about your day, and just be thankful for God and everything that he does for us. Now go in peace and serve the Lord.